This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. President Bush and Senator Kerry are on the campaign trail today, each trying to convince voters that he won last night's debate. It was the first time voters were able to see the president and Senator Kerry side by side. The candidates spent much of the debate trying to correct each other. Kerry challenged Mr. Bush's assertion that invading Iraq was defending the U.S. against a terrorist attack.
He just said, "The enemy attacked us." Saddam Hussein didn't attack us. Osama bin Laden attacked us. Al-Qaeda attacked us.
The president rebutted John Kerry's accusation of poor statesmanship in handling the war in Iraq. He said he had not brushed off U.S. allies and the United Nations.
That's totally absurd. Of course the U.N. was invited in. And we support the U.N. efforts there. They pulled out after Sergio de Mello got killed, but they're now back in helping with elections.
Three early polls suggest voters were more impressed with Senator Kerry's performance. They said he did better overall than President Bush. The next debate will be next Friday on domestic issues.
The presidential candidates made many claims and assertions last night. This morning, we're going to check some of their facts. Senator John Kerry emphasized the enormous cost of the war in Iraq.
$200 billion. $200 billion that could have been used for health care, for schools, for construction, for prescription drugs for seniors. And it's in Iraq.
Not that much is in Iraq yet. The war has cost far more than the Bush administration predicted. But so far, the price tag is about $120 billion. Kerry's campaign explains his $200 billion figure by saying it includes money that Kerry expects to be spent. If Senator Kerry may have stretched the facts on the war's cost, President Bush may have stretched his description of what the United States is getting for its money.
The best way for Iraq to be safe and secure is for Iraqi citizens to be trained to do the job, and that's what we're doing. We've got 100,000 trained now, 125,000 by the end of this year, over 200,000 by the end of next year. That is the best way.
Those figures sound impressive until you realize that only a fraction are fully trained combat troops. NPR's Tom Gelton covers national security issues.
President Bush said there were nearly 100,000 trained Iraqi troops. But that figure would include Army troops, it would include Iraqi National Guard, Iraqi Border Guard, and most important, Iraqi policemen. There are about 34,000 designated Iraqi policemen. However, less than a third of those policemen have gone through their entire training. In fact, when a high State Department official was asked just this month in the Senate whether the 30-some thousand police who are now in uniform, whether they were capable of doing the job on the street, as it were, the State Department official said no, their training was inadequate.
During last night's debate, President Bush also suggested that John Kerry was emboldening U.S. enemies with talk of pulling out of Iraq.
My opponent one time said, well, get me elected, I'll have him out of there in 6 months. You can't do that and expect to win the war on terror.
Senator Kerry actually said something else. In an interview on Morning Edition in August, Kerry did not say he would pull U.S. troops out of Iraq in 6 months. He did say that if things went according to plan and the situation improved, he could pull out some U.S. troops by next summer.
I believe that within a year from now, we could significantly reduce American forces in Iraq. And that's my plan.
Within a year from right now?
I believe we can. Absolutely, we can reduce the numbers. You bet.
Last night, the presidential candidates also spoke about nuclear proliferation. They agreed that the spread of nuclear weapons is the most serious threat to the nation. They disagreed on what the president has done about it. John Kerry said the U.S. should be doing more to help Russia secure hundreds of tons of nuclear material.
We have to do this job. And to do the job, you can't cut the money for it. The president actually cut the money for it. You have to put the money into it and the funding and the leadership.
Actually, we've increased funding for dealing with nuclear proliferation. About 35% since I've been the president.
President Bush appears to be the one who's right. Michael O'Hanlon of the Brookings Institution says funding to secure nuclear materials was not reduced. However, he says one of the most prominent members of the Bush administration tried.
It's certainly true the Bush administration wanted to cut funding for cooperative threat reduction programs in its first year. That was very much Mr. Rumsfeld's instinct and his proposal, in fact, in his first budget. However, I think that was one of those battles that people often forget where Rumsfeld decisively lost within internal administration debates, and in future years, the budgets did increase.
The facts are less clear on one of the central issues of this campaign. John Kerry contends that the war in Iraq was a giant distraction, pulling attention away from the real fight against Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan.
The president made the judgment to divert forces from under General Tommy Franks from Afghanistan before the Congress even approved it, to begin to prepare to go to war in Iraq. And he rushed to war in Iraq without a plan to win the peace.
President Bush insisted that the United States had the forces to fight in both places at once. His commanding general, Tommy Franks, backs up the president, as does retired Lieutenant General John Kane. He was the Army's vice chief of staff until late 2003.
The on-scene commanders who were prosecuting that war, I know we asked them a number of times if they had the resources they need to do the job, and the answer was always yes. They had what they needed to do to accomplish the mission.
Large numbers of troops may not have been diverted from Afghanistan, but General Kane says scarce intelligence assets were. Here's NPR's Tom Gelton.
We know that there were some special operations forces who were being used in Afghanistan in the hunt for Osama bin Laden, who were in fact sent over to Iraq. We know that Arabic language specialists who were working on document exploitation, trying to translate documents that were found in Afghanistan, were moved from Afghanistan to Iraq. The Pentagon has a term for them, low-density, high-demand. And those were the same kinds of forces that were very much needed in the hunt for Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan were also needed in Iraq. And it's true that there was a diversion of some of those very high-demand assets.
In last night's debate, President Bush also spoke of the spread of democracy in Afghanistan.
And that's what our people are seeing now is happening in Afghanistan. 10 million citizens have registered to vote. It's a phenomenal statistic.
It would indeed be a phenomenal statistic, if it's true. Afghanistan is about to hold historic elections, and the United Nations says 10 million people registered to vote. However, observers for the independent group Human Rights Watch found the tally of registered voters was highly inaccurate. The group says many people registered twice in the belief that they could get double the relief payments. Other people may never vote, since Afghan warlords are using intimidation and killing to influence the election. Throughout this campaign, and again last night, each presidential candidate has suggested that his opponent is less than honest. John Kerry says the president misled the nation into war. President Bush contends that John Kerry changes his political positions. Last night, neither candidate appeared to invent evidence to support his case. The candidates did show that they are capable of stretching the available facts. And there's more analysis on last night's debate at our website, npr.org.